Rarely. Oh, well, okay. More spiritual, is more spiritual than the other one because it's shorter. I like that. If I told you a spiritual sermon is shorter than a long one, you'd probably say amen too. No. Couple of announcements this morning, describing a couple things. I'm preaching this morning on the subject of salvation. Acts chapter 13... Verse 38, Scripture says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And everybody said, "Amen." "And by him, all that," what's that next word? "Believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." While you're there, I want to read to you a scripture verse and just test you. Listen to what the scripture verse says. It was quoted to me a couple weeks ago, but it was misquoted. You ever had somebody do that? They misquote a scripture verse? So I'm going to misquote it to you. Don't you love that? I'm telling you that ahead of time. Galatians chapter 5 says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you, and ye are fallen from grace." I had a man tell me, he said, "Don't you know you can fall from grace?" I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, it's in the Bible." So I looked up the scripture verse. And it looks like, it sounds like, Christ has become of no effect to you. You're fallen from grace. Well, that must mean, Christian, that if you're saved, that you can get saved by faith and then lose it and be lost again. You know, it's interesting. I looked up the scripture verse, and this is what it says. Listen very carefully. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. See, you get saved by faith, Christian, by believing what God has said. Who He is who He says He is, and that He did what He says He did. It's by faith and not by works. And if you seek to be justified by works, the Bible says you're fallen from grace. This morning's message is something that's been on my heart for some time. I ran across this verse, and it actually says the opposite of what it was presented as. You know, the issue of salvation, I would say, is the single most important issue for every person on the face of this planet. Because you can go through your life, you can experience different things. Things can happen to you, economic differences, nationality, language, work, job, circumstances. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity in heaven. You can have the best life on earth, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then friend, you'll die and spend eternity away from God in a place called hell and in the lake of fire. The issue of salvation is vital to the unsaved and to the church. So I want to examine from scriptures the nature of salvation. What does the Bible say about the issue? More importantly, I want to say this. I believe God's word teaches us that those who put their trust in Christ for salvation are saved by the grace of God, kept by the power of God, and called to a life of holiness. I want to preach a message this morning, fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we thank you for this day. Help us as we study your word, that your word would be clarified in our hearts, that your word would shed its light on our hearts. If there's one here who has not trusted you as Savior, that is trusting in works or trusting in sacraments or trusting in baptism or church attendance, that they would understand that it is by your works alone, salvation by faith alone. That if there's one here this morning who has accepted you and has been told that they might fall out of salvation somehow and worrying about that, that, Lord, they would get that settled. And if one here this morning has been saved and has been also told that they need not worry about seeking to please you, God, their heart would be motivated to holiness. Convict us, Lord. Make us more like yourself. And in your name I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn over to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I appreciate scripture verses that are simple. There are some that are difficult to understand. There's a principle in scripture that you interpret the clear, you interpret the unclear in light of the clear. If a scripture verse is unclear, you don't change the scripture verse that's clear because something else is unclear. You come to a scripture verse and you say, I don't know what that means. Well, don't use your misunderstanding to go back and change what is very clear. I'm going to share with you some very clear passages of scripture this morning that you can hang your hat on. The first point I want to make is this. Salvation is a gift offered by the grace of God. It is a gift offered by the grace of God. Now, we'll develop that, but look at verse 8 of chapter 2 in Ephesians. It says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it shows us a pendulum swing. It says the wages of sin is death. Wages is what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift is something that we do not deserve. Salvation, Christian, must be received as a gift from God. Twice called a gift in those verses that I just referenced. It is, and I've preached, you know, some months ago, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It is by grace alone. That word grace, it does mean gift. It means something that you do not deserve in any way. By its nature, a gift is not deserved. Listen to this passage from Romans. It says, if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If you deserve it at all, if you earn it at all through one work, then it's not grace. It's debt. If it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no work. If you can call it a gift and still work for it, then, my friend, a gift doesn't mean anything. Yeah. It's just a word we use to manipulate people. Can I tell you, God doesn't do that. It's by grace alone, through faith alone. There in Ephesians, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is not a work. Some people get this mixed up and they say, well, if I can have faith, maybe that means faith is an act of obedience. No, faith is not obedience. Faith is a response to the gospel. It is an awakening of the heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We cannot earn it. Though many try to earn salvation, it is by faith alone. Money cannot earn salvation. The scripture says in 1 Peter, for as much as ye know ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You can't buy your way into salvation. Giving money to the church, putting money in the coffers. You know, the Catholic Church did that for a number of years. You put money into the Catholic Church coffers and you could buy someone's soul out of purgatory. That's not in the Bible. Money cannot earn salvation. Good works cannot earn salvation. There's no way that you can earn forgiveness and a right standing with God through good works. Keeping of the law cannot earn salvation. Listen to the scripture verse from Romans. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know what the law does? It points at you and it shows you where you're wrong. It shows you where you fell. It shows you where you're not perfect. The law is not given to make us right before God. It's not made to make us justified. In that same chapter in Romans 3, it says, therefore we conclude. He's making all these arguments, and he comes to this conclusion that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It is by grace alone, through faith alone. We read that passage in Acts, and the apostle says there, he says, by this man it is preached that they are saved by faith, justified, which you could not have been done by the works of the law. And it's in Christ alone, no other way. So, well, Pastor, what about the people who have never heard of Christ? Well, my friend, they need to hear of Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said that. I didn't say it. But you know what? If I'm honest, and if you're honest, we need to agree with it. Salvation must be received as a gift from God, and this gift is necessary or we cannot make it to heaven. A very religious man met with Jesus one night, and he met with him because he didn't want to be identified with Jesus. Jesus was a lightning rod at that time. It wasn't politically or religiously beneficial. So this man Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, and he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Salvation is necessary, or you can't get to heaven. We're born by trusting in Christ and his sacrifice. This gift is received by simple faith. You know, gifts are received a number of different ways. They are. But they're never received by working. If you require somebody to do something for you, then my friend, it's not a gift. It's not. If it comes with strings attached, it's not a gift, because that's not grace. But the Bible says salvation is a gift, that it is given by grace, and we receive it by simply being willing to. Let me quote you this scripture verse. You've heard it before. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. How do you receive this gift? By simply believing. You simply believe that Christ died for our sins. The gospel is the power there. We must believe it to receive this gift. And the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. We're sinners deserving the wages of death, but he died in our place. He paid our sin debt completely. Take your Bible and turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. look at what the scripture says here in Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 12. He died for our sins, and he died how many times?
Once.
That sacrifice was sufficient. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, Hebrews 10:10. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. They were slaughtering bulls and goats, and that would cover the sin, but which can never take away the sins. But this man, after he had offered once one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He died once for our sins, paid the sin debt completely. He was buried and rose again the third day. And friend, by trusting in that, if we trust in that, we can have salvation. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. These are very clear scripture verses. I think you would agree. There's none of this nonsense. Well, that's open to interpretation, preacher. I just love it when people tell me that. They say, that's open to interpretation. I don't always do this, but sometimes when people tell me that, I show them the scripture verse and I say, well, then give me your interpretation. What does that say? Because usually it's very clear. And here in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, the scripture says, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's literally what justification is, to be declared righteous. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's justification. Look down at verse 24 of the same chapter. It's giving us this account of Abraham's life. Skipping down to the end and the conclusion, it says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that means deposited, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. If you believe and accept that you are a sinner, that you understand the wages of sin is death, that Christ died for your sins, according to the scripture, paid the debt, and rose again. That's what brings salvation, friend. Then all you got to do is ask for it. See, Romans chapter 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You just ask for it. Salvation is a gift offered by the grace of God, received by faith in Jesus Christ. That's very clear. Not only that, you say, well, yes, but it seems too easy. Well, my friend, it is, kind of, for us, but not for God. What do you mean? Well, the second point is this. Salvation is a gift offered by the grace of God. That's my first point. The second point is, like all gifts, salvation comes at a price. See, it's free, but it's not cheap. Not cheap. You know, a gift is free to the recipient, but it's not free to the giver. We've talked about the reception of salvation, but I want to talk about what it took to purchase your salvation. If you're here this morning and you are not saved, understand that the work that Christ did on the cross, dying for your sins and then raising from the dead, completely purchased your salvation from sin, your relationship with God. It lies ready to be redeemed, much the same as a gift card, okay? Though much more valuable. It has already been purchased. Now, you might be the kind of person who likes to purchase gifts for yourself. Anybody like that? Say, look at what I got for myself, you know? Salvation is not one of those gifts. That's not the way it works. You know, why is that so important? Well, I'll tell you why it's so important. It's so important, number one, because that's the way our human nature works. And it's so important, number two, because if you attempt to be justified by doing the law, the Bible says you are fallen from grace. You cannot be saved if you're trying to earn it. It's actually an insult to God, because what you're telling him is, your son died on the cross for my sins, but that wasn't enough. Let me add some of my works to the mix. Now, I know it's an honest mistake, but friend, that's not the way it works. See, the price of this gift, salvation, really is too high. If you want to talk about what it takes to purchase the gift, and by the way, I'll say this. Our sin placed us in debt to God. Yes, we are in debt to God. And that feeling of guilt, sometimes we want to do things to get it taken away. But the person in debt cannot determine the currency to pay off the debt. Never is the debtor allowed to set the terms of repayment. It's the one to whom the debt is owed. And we owe that debt to God. And he says the wages of sin is... See, the wages of sin is far too high. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And friend, if we pay for our own salvation, the only currency allowed, it's too late for us. So Christ did it. He paid the price for your salvation. He purchased it with his blood. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, it comes at a high price. And can I tell you this? This gift has no returns policy. Have you ever tried to return something and the store would not return it? I'll tell you this. I went to Walmart a couple months ago and I tried to return something and they wouldn't let me bring it back. I've seen people return things that I'm not sure if they bought it this century. You know, fishing reels that are all corroded, and you know the guy's caught a bunch of fish with them, and he just wants a new fishing reel. And so, by the way, if you did that, I was not in line behind you, okay? But and they're like, okay, sure, just give me your, you know, whatever, and they scan your ID. I went into Walmart and I tried to return something. They said all sales are final. Am I in the right place? Right. Did you know that salvation is a gift that has a no returns policy? Pastor, are you sure? Yes. See, when Christ died for our sins, he died for them once for all. It was completely purchased. Hebrews 1:3 puts it this way. Take your Bible and turn over to Hebrews. I'm going to prove this point. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. I'm in Titus, different book. Hebrews chapter 1, 3, talking about the work of Jesus Christ. It says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He did what to our sins? He purged it. And when you get saved, that is applied to your account. Well, my friend, if you could undo that, that makes you more powerful than God. Do we really think that we are? His work of sacrifice is done. If you could undo the work of God in salvation, you would. If you could overrule the sacrifice of Christ through your actions, once God applied it to your life, your sin would be greater than God's sacrifice. Is that really the way that the Bible presents it? No. And once again, we rely on human logic. We say, well, in my life, if I misuse something, I get it taken away. Well, yeah, that's the way it is in this world most of the time. Salvation is not of this world. It is a gift by the power of God according to God's standards. And let me put it this way. If you could lose your salvation, you would have already done it. Believe me. If you could lose your salvation, you would do it. Prone to wander how I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We are not perfect, friend. We are flawed. We stumble. We struggle. We stray. See, if you could lose your salvation, it would be potential, not complete. We would call it probation, not salvation. That's what the law does when you get out of jail, and they say, now make sure you have your freedom. Freedom, yes, except you don't have freedom. You got to report to me this many times, and you got to pay this to me. Yeah, I'm your officer. You got to do all this stuff, and if you mess up, you're back in the slammer. That's not freedom. That's probation. Salvation's not probation. Salvation does come at a price. You might be thinking, well, if you can't lose it, what if you can give it back? Because I've heard people say that. Well, you can't lose it, but you can give it back. You can deny your salvation. Oh, really? Okay. That's what the scripture says. Take your Bible and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the final step after this point brings it all together. So stay with me, please. Very important. There's no other subject more important to us today. So stay with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. He's talking to believers here, and it says, ye are bought with a price. Wait a second, I thought Christ purchased my salvation. He did, and when you received it, he purchased you. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Christian, if you possess the gift of salvation, God possesses you. If you possess salvation, God possesses you. You're saved once for all. See, the gift of salvation is eternal life, and it's protected by the hand of God. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at how Jesus describes this gift. Some people, I had a man tell me, he said, well, I don't believe all the Bible, just that part written in red. And I said, really, you do realize that's just ink color, right? And he goes, no, I mean, that's the part that Jesus said. And I said, I'm pretty sure that it's all God's words, but let's use Jesus's words, okay? John chapter 10, no lie, he did say that. He says in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Speaking of sheep here, he's talking about believers. Christians have a relationship with God. If you're a believer and you interact with the Lord, his words abide in you and you abide in him. There's that great following. As you're his sheep, he's your shepherd. Verse 28 says this, Christians not only have a relationship, but they have eternal life. That's a current. That is a present tense verb. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. By the way, if you were wondering what eternal life means, it means they shall never perish. Never. Does he say, I give unto them eternal life and they might perish. He doesn't say that. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give it to them. They're not going to die. Nobody can take it away. Verse 29. Maybe Jesus and God are, maybe he's fighting with the Father. Maybe there's some No, the Godhead is together on this. There is complete unity. He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The conclusion is they'll never perish. Let me quote to you the scripture verse from the book of John. It says in John chapter 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Doesn't sound like Jesus is potentially describing something. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Completed. God's not on the fence about this. The gift of salvation is eternal life. Once received, Christian, you do not keep salvation. God keeps you.
Amen.
Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. I love this passage. I preached out of 1 Peter chapter 1 at Brother Carl Cohn's funeral. It characterized him. Some of the things in this passage, beyond just these verses. But I want you to see this. Verse 3 says, we're born again by his mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're born again by his mercy. Secondly, we're destined for heaven with a reservation made by God. Normally, if you get like a room in a motel, they want to give you, they're like, Can you write down the reservation number? Nobody has ever asked me for a reservation number. You guys have been at, normally they say, what's your telephone number? These are, and they give you this reservation number that's like 30 digits long, you know, and syllables and all these other kind of, I'm like, ugh. But you got a reservation. That's to emphasize nobody else can get your room. And if they do, somebody's going to make it right. Well, the Bible says you have a reservation to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. What's the next word? Reserved in heaven for you. Praise God, I got a reservation. I'm saved by the mercy of God. But verse 5, man, locks it all in. If you're saved, you're kept by His power. Who are kept by the, say those next words with me, power of God through faith. Unto salvation ready to be revealed. What does that mean? Well, it means that God saved you, but He's not done working on you. He's going to reveal something in your life. It'll be revealed in the last time. Some of us is more revealed than others. You know, God's working and it's going to be revealed. You do not receive the gift of salvation through your righteousness. You do not keep the gift of salvation through your righteousness. God purchased you at a great cost, and now you belong to Him. Do you think He's going to let you go? No. See, the Scripture says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you possess the gift of salvation, God possesses you. And you say, Pastor, if it's a gift, I'm going to need to receive it as a gift. That's great. If I can't lose it, doesn't that, I know it, you might be thinking this, if I can't lose it, doesn't that encourage people to mistreat it? Because that's what my kids do. They take stuff for granted. That's human logic, isn't it? Yeah. You know, my kids, they fight over toys. You know what I do? I take it away. Nobody's having a toy, you know? They fight over their tablets. I take it away. They misuse something. I take it away. They leave the lights on when they're not in the room. I unscrew the light bulb. No, I'm just kidding. That's what dads do. They step in and I know how to solve this. Nobody's happy. You know, God's our Father, but the Bible responds to that issue. If you have received the gift of salvation, you're called to live for God. Turn over to Romans chapter 6 and look at what the Scripture says. It is a gift. You receive it as a gift. If you possess it, God possesses you. It came at a great price, but it's not an encouragement to abuse it. If anything, Christian, the Scripture encourages us to serve God because of it. God's grace is greater than our sin. So, look at verse 1 of chapter 6 in Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God's grace is not a license to sin. It's a foundation to serve Him with our life. I can now please God. Praise God for that. Can I tell you this? The Scripture tells us that God our Father will not be mocked. If one of His children does choose to live in sin, you know what's going to happen? What happens when your kids do wrong? Do you disown them? You discipline them. And our Father does the same thing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you as a child of God, anybody in this world, but even as a child of God, if you choose to serve flesh and choose to live for yourself and do what's wrong, yes, it will corrupt your life. It will hurt you. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's rewards in heaven, Christian. And be not weary in well-doing. Maybe it doesn't come quickly enough. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if ye faint not. Our Father will not be mocked. In fact, He will discipline us if we choose to live in sin. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I get this question many times. Well, you know, and people say, well, what about somebody who just says that they believe in Jesus? I don't know if they do or not. Okay, that's between them and the Lord. You can say anything you want to. If you believe in your heart and you accept the gift of salvation by grace through faith, you're saved. Okay, Now, whether or not somebody made a false profession, that's between them and God. I don't know. Is it possible for a Christian, though, someone who is saved and has accepted salvation, to do wrong? Sure it is. You know what? If you choose to do that and to live for self or live for the world, at some point in time, God will step in. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And this is not angry. When I discipline my kids, you know why I discipline my kids? Because I'm a horrible, mean dad, and they just really get on my nerves. Well, maybe sometimes. No. No. It's because I don't want them to grow up to be a menace to society and have a miserable life. I love them. I want them to do right. No, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. And discipline, I know psychologists disagree with me. They can go fly a kite. The Bible disagrees with them. Discipline brings that. Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." My Bible says in John 1, 12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." So this must mean that God disciplines Christians if they live in sin. That must mean that it's possible for Christians to live in sin, and that God doesn't disown them. He disciplines them to bring them back. "If ye then be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." That word means a child without a father. It's not a swear word in the Bible. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For then verily for a few days they chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Ah, so we're called to holiness, Christian. And chastening is for that purpose. Yeah, but it's not fun. It's not comfortable. I know. Look at verse 11. "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." See, God loves you just the way you are. He died for you while you were a sinner. He saved you by his righteousness. But friend, as his child, he loves you too much to let you get away with what you want to do. He calls you to holiness. Really, doing that is good for us. Jesus said in John 13, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." In fact, God warns in 2 Peter that living for self and the world will actually even cause us to doubt our salvation. It says, "If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, the character qualities, the truths in Scripture, the holiness that God wants to give us, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Is he talking about an unbeliever there? No, he's talking about a Christian who doesn't follow God's word, actually losing the assurance, that inward confirmation of their salvation. Illustration, and then I'll close. I don't know if you've ever done this. Well, probably you have. You sleep on a limb wrong, like your arm, or you sit wrong and you got a limb that goes to sleep. Right? You ever had that happen? I remember one time, it was actually the absolute worst that has ever happened to me. I fell asleep with my arm around my throat like this. And I don't know how I did that, but I did. I was on my stomach, and I was falling, and I woke up, and my alarm was off. My alarm was right here, okay? And I woke up, and I'm my eyes are coming open, and I'm like, okay, I'll just reach over and turn it off. But my arm was missing. It didn't just feel like it was immobilized. It felt like it wasn't there. I had cut off the, here it is, I had cut off the life supply to that arm for so long, it didn't feel like I had an arm. And so I'm flopping around in the bed. It's in a twin bed in college. It was only about this, and I was on the top bunk, so I didn't want to fall off. And I'm trying to reach over this way, and I have short arms anyway. And so I'm laying over this way, and when I finally got, as the blood came back into my arm, you know, it didn't feel good. It hurt. And sometimes Christians that have not been living for the Lord, it doesn't feel good to come back because you're reminded of all those things. But that's what it needed. And eventually I shook it around enough and it works today. You know, praise God for that. It didn't mean I lost my arm. It meant that I had cut off the life supply. And there are Christians who get saved and they wander away from church and they don't go to church. They don't read their Bibles. And they said, yeah, it's just uncomfortable. I'm reminded of this thing in my life, or I should have done that. And it just hurts. And so, and I'm stay away. And if they were really saved, they're still saved, but they've forgotten their purge from their old sins. See, if you're truly saved, your salvation is known by God. Eternity is based on His righteousness and not ours. So as I close, Christian, as I close, visitor, if you're here today, if you're unaware of your standing in Christ, you must have this gift or you will not go to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's a horrible thing, but it's easily remedied because salvation is received by grace through faith in Christ. It's a gift. Have you ever received the gift of salvation? You can choose to trust the gospel of Christ, that He died for our sins, rose. He died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again. You can choose to ask Him for it today. Secondly, have you doubted whether or not God can keep you saved or struggled with doubt? Oh, sometimes we struggle with besetting sins and unfaithfulness, and we realize our imperfections. We're still not perfect. Nobody in here is. And if you think you are, we need to talk about pride. Rest in this truth. If you possess salvation, God possesses you. He owns you. And serve Him out of love. Thank you for not giving up on me. Everybody else might give up on me, but God does not. And then finally, have you fallen to the snare of thinking because you're saved, you can do something wrong and get away with it? Sin always destroys. It always destroys. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Serve Him today with your whole life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Appreciate your attention. Subject this morning is one that's been on my heart. Folks, it's clear. It's not unclear, and it's not open to interpretation. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, and there's something specific that you need to do, take care of that before you leave. Talk to the Lord. Now, you can talk to the Lord there in your seat. Yes. And as we stand here in a second and the piano begins to play, you can do that. If you need counsel or if you need special prayer, the altar is open. Just seize this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. Work in our hearts, please. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken to you this morning, talk to the Lord.